Good morning. Good morning to all of you. We welcome you all here this morning. And I see that we have some visitors sitting in the back row, and we're glad. We're so glad to see Gerald and Darlene's family, and Ellie has them for a week, so welcome. And if we have other visitors here this morning, we hope you'll feel welcome and that you'll see and hear and come again. We extend our sympathies to the Vandenberg family on the death of Peter's father at the Vineland home. May God give your mother, Peter, and the rest of the family comfort in knowing that your father is now in heaven and is in good health and at peace. This is the time of year where we're thinking about annual meetings and about receipts that you need from the church for your income tax, so please check your mailbox, and the annual reports will be available in the narthex following the service. I want to draw your attention. Oh, no, please read your bulletin and check Week at a Glance for activities that you can be a part of. I draw your attention to the prayer time next Sunday in the fellowship room at 10 o'clock. This is the time when we pray together for someone to answer our call and God's call to come and be our lead pastor. This group has been gathering for quite a while now, once a month, and welcomes all of you to come. Last Sunday, we were happy and maybe even overjoyed to hear the news that our church council and pastoral search committee are pleased to tell us of meeting with a potential lead pastor and that a candidating meeting could be set up soon. Many of us are praying for whom God is preparing for us as lead pastor. Let us continue praying, and let us plan to be here that Sunday for sure, so that the potential pastor can see a group of worshipers that he would be working with and would like to get to know us. Last Sunday, our sermon started with us hearing about the good food we have to eat. So let us have a healthy diet and also a healthy spiritual diet. We are challenged to be people of the way, to live an organic faith, to be spiritually processed. I think we have a prayer. Let us pray. Lord, our God, we have come into your sanctuary to worship together as a church family. We have come to hear your word, to listen to the sermon which you have given to Paul, and to lift our songs of praise to you. Help us put aside the busyness of life and to become still, to let the words read and spoken sink into our minds and soul. We need your help to be true Christians. It is so easy to go with the ways of the world, and we find it hard to follow you in every part of our day and life. Let us learn this morning how it is to follow you, even if it is a small step by step. Help us to be faithful and show those around us that we are Christians and that in how we live our lives, they will see your love through us. We ask your blessing upon each of us here and also those who will listen to this service at home. Be near to all our senior members who are in care homes and those who are unable to come because of limitations. Lift their hearts so that they will feel your presence and be blessed. We pray in your name with thankful hearts and give you honor, praise, and glory. Amen. Now we'll have a couple of songs for the praise and worship team.
Thank you.
Forever is a word that we can certainly use for God. I'm a little out of sync here from the right order, so you'll have to just forgive me for that. Yes, thank you. One gets a little nervous, so. The singing was great. Like, I love it when we really sing, like we mean it. Like, we mean to sing to God with praise and a thankful heart. The psalm reading today is from Psalm 15. Lord, who will dwell in your sanctuary? Who will live on your holy hill? He who whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does all these things will never be shaken. We'll invite the children up to hear what Aaron has prepared for you today. Oh, the choir's first? Okay, I'm really out of sync. All right, we'll hear the choir first.
From the rising up to the setting of the sun, from All right, good morning, kids. Come on up, come on up. How are you guys doing this morning? Okay, good, good. Yep, good, good. We'll take that. Okay, all right. So this morning, Pastor Paul is going to be starting a new sermon series, and this is a series about how we can be a better church. Okay, so I was wondering if maybe you guys have some ideas about what could make our church better. So why don't I'll start. I'll give you my idea, and then you guys can tell me what you think, all right? So I think our church would be better if we put in some really cool lights up here that flash different colors, and then we could have, like, smoke machines on the sides, and that would be pretty cool. So I think that would make our church better. Do you guys have some other ideas? What could make our church better? Yes. Some flowers, yes. Lots of flowers, though. Not just a little bit. Like, lots of flowers all over the place, right? Yeah, that sounds great. Okay, what else? Think big, yes. More flowers? Yeah, let's not hold back on the flowers. I like that idea. Yeah, what about, like, candy machines or something? That'd be fun, yeah. Candy canes, yes. I like that idea, yep. Yes. Put up pictures of everyone everywhere. Yes, that sounds really nice, actually. Yeah, I kind of like the lights better, but that sounds cool, too. Yeah, candy, lots of flowers. This sounds great. This sounds really great. Yeah, I like where we're going with these. This sounds pretty cool, but we should probably go to the Bible and see if it has some more ideas. So maybe they can add to our vision, right? So I'm going to read, this is our scripture passage. It's from Colossians chapter 2. So this is a letter that's written by Paul, who's a disciple of Jesus, to the church in a city called Colossae. All right, so he's writing to give them advice on how they can be a better church. So let's see what he says to them, all right? So I'm going to take a look. I'll let you know what I find, okay? Okay, so right off the bat, no lights. No lights, no flowers. I'm not seeing anything like that. He's talking about, like, being encouraged in heart and united in love. And he says that through this, they're going to receive riches. So this isn't really what we were talking about, hey? What kind of riches do you think he's talking about? He's talking about money? Those kinds of riches? What do you think? No, probably not, right? No, he's not talking about money. He's talking about the riches that come from following Jesus, right? So I think maybe we had the wrong idea. We were talking about stuff, right? So, like, cool lights and flowers and candy and stuff like that. But that's not really what Paul's going for in the Bible, right? He's talking about something completely different. He's talking about riches that we get from following Jesus, right? And living the way that Jesus wants us to live. And Jesus doesn't care about lights or about smoke machines or about candy or flowers or any of those things, right? He wants us to love and encourage each other because he cares about us, right? That's how we can be a better church, is by loving and encouraging one another, right? So why don't we pray for that together, okay? Can we pray? Dear God, we're just so thankful that you love us, and we thank you that you help us to be a better church, not by buying more stuff, but by loving and encouraging each other more and more. So would you just guide us as we continue to do that? In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, thanks, guys. You can go back.
Thank you, Trudy, and others for sharing that. And so what is the basis of Christians being known by their love? Aaron gave us a few hints in the text from Colossians. Paul will share with us in the message, being church, God is calling us to be. And our gathering this morning is simply a symbol of our commitment together to worship God, to model our lives and behavior in the image of Jesus as we each seek to serve others in the likeness of Jesus. Framework for us as a church. I ask you to bow with me in prayer. God and Father of Jesus, our coming this morning is a commitment. Commitment of sharing together with others in worship of you, to hear your word of instruction, to make our vows of faithfulness to you and to Jesus as we make our commitments to one another. You, God, provide for our needs with sunshine and rain, with caring support of community, and for this we give you thanks. Gracious God, in moments of lapse or perhaps out of anger, we have lashed out at others, causing harm. For this, our hearts break, and we ask for your healing to give us strength to admit our failures as we seek to restore relationships with peace. As we seek to serve you, we also pray for comfort of the Van Bergen family, for father and grandfather's life of influence and faith. May memories of him be a guidance for the future. For the wisdom of church leaders as we collectively reflect on the year past and look to the future as we seek lead pastor, but more importantly, as we seek to be a faith community focused on Jesus and our witness to the wider community. Gracious God, our prayers continue for peace, hearing of distant lands where violence is rampant, where lives are lost and communities destroyed, where hunger and thirst are plenty. May your grace provide what is needed for the healing of your land and of your people in various places. Collectively, we share in our worship as a church community, and so we ask for your blessing on our tithes and offerings as we respond to your generosity among us to live and be grateful people, sharing abundance of forgiveness and care for others as we continue to seek to follow Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
morning. Is that on? Yeah. Oh, we are. As Aaron was asking the children what would make the church better, and they're talking about candies and flowers, my first thoughts went right to food. It's like, oh, a little cafe with homemade ribelplatz and whatever. But no, I did not find that in the scripture reading either. It is from Colossians 2, verses 1 to 7. For I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face. I want their hearts to be encouraged and united in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am saying this so that no one may deceive you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, and I rejoice to see your morale and the firmness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. Thank you, sister, for the public reading of God's word. May God speak into our hearts through the reading of his word. Hearts are filled with praise and thanksgiving for this day. As Aaron mentioned, we're looking at a whole series of sermons dealing with being the church, and we'll be doing this until the first Sunday of Lent, so we look forward to that. I'll tell you, after Pastor Randy last Sunday morning, as soon as he mentioned Red River cereal, oh, and then he went on to talk about all of the organic good things that are to characterize us as followers of the way and how our lives are to be characterized. This morning, we want to look at that theme, being the church, and I think the exercise that Aaron gave the children this morning, Aaron, part of me wanted you to stand up, turn around, and ask the rest of us, what would make for a church that would please our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ? I love the idea of the candy. I love the idea of food. I love the idea of having the walls filled with photos. So much. And like all of us, we do look forward so much to the coming of our lead pastor. And I'm certain that that will be a question that will be on his mind as he looks forward, God willing, to the calling and to the coming to this congregation. Rudy and Rocky, thank you so much for adding to that. But you are nothing compared to the percussion instruments during that song. Thank you for that serendipitous moment, Trudy, that you added to our worship service today. You know, it dawned on me, if I can just ramble a wee bit, pardon me, speak personally, but also speaking maybe on behalf of the church. I just realized, like, as Sister Anne at the beginning of the service reminded us, these services are being recorded and they are accessible on the on our website. And I was sitting there thinking, I wonder if the possible candidate may even be listening this morning. Could be. If you're out there listening, we're a great church. One other personal note before I stick to my notes. 5 years ago, the last Sunday of January was January the 28th, 2018. And that's when I completed my first act in this church. That was when I completed serving as an interim lead pastor. Pastor Randy, of course, and Pastor Nick then were to continue to serve in their roles. And yes, so it was 5 years ago today that you bid me farewell. And my dear wife Candy and I, on the Monday, headed south for a wee bit of a holiday. But just before we left on the Monday, I had to visit my family doctor and then the specialist. And it was 5 years ago on Monday that I was diagnosed with a cancer. But for 2.5 years, I've been cancer-free. Can I hear praise the Lord? Basics, being the church that God has called us to be. When I walk by the cornerstone block out in our narthex with the words, there's a voice that reminds me, there's the cornerstone. Christ is our cornerstone. And when I walk by that cornerstone and I see that imprint on that stone, the Spirit of God reminds me, Paul, this is not your church, nor is it the sole property of any one of us. That same voice reminds me of that when I walk through the doors into this auditorium and I sit in the benches, or maybe I enjoy a quiet moment before the worship service begins, or I happen to gather with you in a raucous song of worship and joy to our great God. This is not my church, but we are a part of the church, the family. And let us be the church that God is calling us to be. With all of its warts and wrinkles, there are certain traits that are to be found within the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as God gives me opportunity, I will be preaching from this Colossians chapter 2 text for a couple of more sermons. And Pastor Randy, of course, will be offering his sermons as well as we lead up to the season of Lent. We are the church collectively. We are a part of Mennonite Church Canada, and we are a part of Mennonite Church Eastern Canada. We are a part of the faith community, the church community, in the town, in the city of St. Catharines. And we are joined with brothers and sisters from other faith communities. And tucked away in Paul's little letter that we are reading together, Colossians chapter 2, Paul's letter to this little church in Colossae, is this marvelous description of being the church. And we're going to be reading this text in the public reading of the scriptures each Sunday that I will be preaching before the season of Lent begins. And the Apostle Paul is instructing and encouraging the church to keep on being the church. This week during my daily Bible readings, as I read through the lectionary, I'm also aware that on January the 25th, this past week, that is when the Christian church globally recognizes and celebrates the conversion experience of the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. In Colossians, the Apostle Paul is talking about the mystery of Christ. The first apostle, Paul, to open up the glorious mysteries. One of the favorite words that the Apostle Paul uses to describe the deep, profound, incomprehensible, the grace and the love of God shown through Jesus Christ. He describes it as a mystery. And this mystery that he is seeking to expose and to expound upon. So we celebrate this Apostle Paul. And we give thanks to God for him as one of the Christian church's first true Christian mystics who understood and sought to describe the mysteries of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep in mind in the text of Scripture when the Apostle Paul refers to the heart being encouraged in verse number 2 of Colossians 1, encouraged in heart. When Paul uses that word and we translate it heart, it also has that sense of mind and soul. So it just isn't a matter of us being encouraged in our emotions. It's a matter of our mind and our souls collectively being encouraged. I've entitled this message and a series of messages, Marks of the Faithful Church. But we want to emphasize just two of those marks this morning, and then we'll move on in a couple of weeks' time. Being the church requires that we have not candy canes, not suppers necessarily, but the church requires that we have courageous hearts. The church should be a place where men and women and boys and girls have a sense that the ministry of God has touched their lives. Whether it's corporate worship, whether it's small groups, whether it's in discussion groups, whether it's in practice, as the choirs practice. By the way, thank you so much, Alvin. You get so much out of that praise and worship choir. It's amazing. And it's a wonderful component to our worship services. Sometimes the word that is translated parakletosis means comforted, strengthened, exhorted, but always there is the idea of enabling a person to meet some difficult situation with confidence and with stability. That entire first verse, I'd love to read it to you again from Eugene Peterson's interpretation of Colossians 2 and verse 1. But that first verse, if you listen to it being read in Peterson's interpretation, it just oozes with Paul's hope that even though he is not with them, and probably he would never meet many of those Christians in Colossae, he wants them to know he is joined with them in the work. I'm with you in the work of the ministry. We're together in this. You are not alone. Eugene Peterson phrases it this way. You're not in this alone, Peterson writes. I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know about God. Isn't that great to hear from time to time? You're not alone. We are with you in thoughts and prayers, and sometimes our presence is also there. At a bedside, studying for a crucial exam, making significant decisions, hand-holding when relationships turn sour. One of the greatest thrills I had when I served for many years as a pastor was attending annual Mennonite Church Canada conventions. And often there would be round table sessions. And at those round table sessions, there would be a brother, a sister from British Columbia, from Saskatchewan, from Ontario, from Manitoba. And we would gather together, people whom I had never met before. But they were my brothers in Christ, my sisters in Christ. And we would hear them speak of their joys. We would hear them speak of their struggles. You're not alone. We are part collectively of this Christian community. You're not alone in this. We're together. How thankful I am for the projects, the work that is undertaken by members of this congregation, encouraging others to do the work of the ministry. Paul goes on in verse 2, and he says that he's motivated to be encouraged, that we are to be encouraged in heart. Paul's prayer is that they might have hearts that are filled with courage, that mentally they would assent to the work that they must do, that in their soul, in their spirit, in their emotions, they would be encouraged to do the work. Don't faint. Don't quit. Don't be swallowed up by your circumstances. Oh, I love the text where the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, do not grow weary in heart, in body, in mind. Don't experience burnout, for in due time, the Apostle Paul writes, we will reap a harvest. Don't give up. It's interesting that later on, the authorship of the book of Hebrews is often contested, who wrote the book of Hebrews. But just listen to the similarity in tone in Hebrews chapter 12, well-known passage, verse 1, verse 2. But I'm going to read verse 3 as well. And notice the similarity with what I just finished reading from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Don't give up. The author writes in Hebrews 12, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sins that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's interesting that later in the letter of Colossians, Paul writes of Tychicus coming and sharing circumstances in order to encourage their hearts. Some of the most exciting times that I have experienced as a follower of Jesus, some of the most exciting times are those church meetings where we share our reports, where we share our joys, where we share how God has met us, where we share how we are struggling, how we are a needy congregation. Some of my most exciting times when I am encouraged in heart is when we gather together in that context. A little later on in the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 4 and in verse number 7, listen to these words. Paul's just getting ready to close off his little letter here. He writes in verse 7 of Colossians 4, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. Never hesitate to share a word that may encourage the hearts of others. Never hesitate to listen to reports of what God is doing in the lives of others. Listen, we may not have, is there a Tychicus amongst us here this morning? No, no, no. We may not have a Tychicus amongst us this morning, but we have an Anne. We have a Trudy. We have a Jessica. We have a Pastor Randy. We have a Helga. We have a Peter. We have a Kevin. We have an Alvin. We have an Elf. We have a Marion. Paul, you didn't mention my name. Oh, I look forward to next Sunday. I look forward to it. I hope all of you are looking forward to coming and being a part of this. There's going to be news given about what is happening in the life of our church. Let's be encouraged in our hearts. My concern, the Apostle Paul is writing, is that you may have the courage and stability to continue in the ministry of being the church when faced with the tough issues, when faced with questions, when faced with the uncertainties. I told you at the beginning of my sermon that, it was back in 2018, end of January. How long was I here then, Vic? Was I here 10 months? I think 10 months, and then I left. Listen, when I started in November 2021, I thought this was going to be a short gig. I really did. I've been here long enough as interim support. It's basically been about 14 months, I believe. I think it's about time we had a lead pastor come to this church. What do you think? Amen. In God's time, we don't want someone here under the wrong circumstances. We want to have a consensus that the Spirit of God gives to us as a congregation and a peace in the heart of that possible candidate. So let us move forward in 2023. Be bold, be gentle, be sure, be ready. Serve to encourage others. How I thank God for those of you who serve amongst us, whether it be in the AV department, serving as our ushers, serving as our tellers, serving, singing, speaking, being here with an embrace, with an arm over a shoulder, to share a joy, to share a tear. I am absolutely convinced from my experience as a fellow follower of the way with you that when we are severely shaken, when we are tested, and the bottom seems to be falling out, that God uses people to encourage our hearts, that we're not going to forsake the way. We're not going to forsake this faith community. Can the preacher hear an amen? Amen. Courageous hearts, number two, and with this I close. Being the church requires that we have cohesive love. I love the text so very much. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God. The first Anabaptist church of Colossae had been guilty of basically intellectualizing their faith. It was all about the words and how we define to minute details the faith. They would talk about the true gnosis, the Greek, the gnosis, the true knowledge. And Paul emphasizes that the revelation of God that he received as that great first century mystic preacher of the gospel, apostle of the gospel, it cannot be properly experienced apart from being the church that God has called us to be. Eugene Peterson talks about being in touch with everything there is to know about God. It's an experience. It just simply is not a matter of dotting our I's and crossing our T's, saying, yes, we believe these statements to be true. It's a matter of experiencing the mystery of knowing God in Christ. The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse 17, that we are being rooted and grounded in love. Many things are going to change within our church community. They already have. Leaders change. Elders change. Pastors change. Forms of worship change. If Trudy had her way. Thank you, Trudy. Thank you. But that demonstration of cohesive love, saying thank you. Thank you, Trudy. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Pastor Randy, for your pastoral care that you have provided for years over this congregation. That cohesive love be experienced and expressed. We just don't say, I love you, Lord. But we experience that love in our relationships with one another. It's so hard sometimes to let threads go. Our church is changing. We lose members through death, through transfer, sometimes issues. People leave a gap. Sometimes we find it hard just letting go and moving on. But God is calling us to be a community of courageous hearts, a community of cohesive love. When love grows cold and potentially dies, this gathering of people is no longer the church. We're just a social club. If there's no cohesive love, if there's no courageous hearts being experienced in this place, we're just an organization. We're just a social club that seems to perpetuate itself through annual meetings. The church at Colossae was very close to the church at Laodicea. You say, oh, Paul, I've heard about the church of Laodicea. And these little letters were shared amongst the churches of Asia Minor. So they knew about the church at Laodicea. They had probably received Paul's letter and had read it. It's kind of like us saying, okay, we've just prepared our worship service for Sunday, January 29th. Let's share it with Grace Mennonite, with Bethany Mennonite, with Vineland UMC, with the First Mennonite Church. It's kind of like that. We're part of that same hub, that same nucleus. But that Laodicea congregation, it was in pretty rough shape. And you'd know that text from Revelation 3. I'll but read one or two verses from Revelation 3. To the angel of the church of Laodicea writes these words. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. We realize that they had allowed themselves to draw apart. Where had the love gone? Where had the courage gone? But we are to be knit together in love, which paints the picture of the knitter, creating a beautiful, beautiful fabric. When others see how we are knitted together, behold how they loved one another, these followers of the way. When others see how we are knitted together, how we are united, how we are patiently moving forward, step by step, we trust in the Lord. And he will make our paths straight. Praise and worship choir, thank you for that second selection this morning. It was an affirmation of the direction that we are going as a congregation as we trust in the Lord. Can I hear an amen from Elvin? Amen. This cohesive love that Paul is describing here is to be a mark of the faithful church. We know that it will be time-consuming. We know it'll be costly. We know it'll be messy. We know it'll be draining, exhausting. But it'll be exhilarating. If the Christian community of believers, this community of believers, want to have an impact on our community, we must commit ourselves to be a community where there is cohesiveness in love and courageous hearts. And all of God's people said, may it be so. Trudy, once again, you have chosen a perfect song for our benediction. Can I invite the congregation to please stand? Following the benediction, remain standing and sing the third stanza. Let us pray. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Please remain standing. Amen.